Praise the Lord, Bridgeway. I said, praise the Lord, Bridgeway. One more time for the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord, Bridgeway. It's so good to see you and be with you. Thank you for braving the clouds or the rain, whether you are here in Columbia, Maryland, or whether you are in Owings Mills, Reisterstown, Maryland. For those of you who got up, got dressed, and came into the house of the Lord, thank you so much. Give yourselves a hand for making it into the house of the Lord. While we're applauding, let's thank God for the preachers over the last couple of weeks. Thank you, Minister Lisa, Pastor Eli, Pastor Jared, and Minister Tracy in Owings Mills. Thank you so much for bringing the word. And now here I am about to start a three-week series called God's Sign Language. I'm going to be talking about the signs of the times and where we are in today's world. But before I get into that message, open in prayer and get into that message, I have some opening comments, some pastoral comments that I just want to bring to your attention as we're going into this holiday season. And the first thing I want to bring to you is an amazing first fruits testimony that just came in a week or two ago. Before I read this woman's letter, I do want to give you a bit of background on what all this means. Just in case you're new to the church, in October 2021, we had a 30-hour revival, and that season of revival took us really through January of 2022, where we were indeed the new Bridgeway Community Church after that revival, so far as our openness to the fullness and the movement of God's Spirit and just new and different ways that we're seeing God manifest himself in our church and, Lord willing, even the next 30 years. But then following that, in October 2022, just a year later, God laid it on my heart and on the heart of the elders and elders council to host a first fruits offering. This is the first time in 30 years that we'd ever done that, where on the first Sunday of the year, and also it was the first day of 2023, we would host a first fruits offering, which simply meant that we want you to exercise your faith by giving to the Lord any amount that you want to give. We didn't have a campaign. We didn't have an amount that we were looking for. We weren't trying to, raise a big offering. We just simply said, when you give at the very first of the year, you're saying, thank you, God, for what you have done in this last year and putting a seed in the ground of faith for, God, what we want you to do in the year ahead, giving of your first fruits, giving of your first income, your first offering to God, whatever amount you want to give. No pressure. Just get in on what God is up to. And then following that, in the first of the year, I preached on Joshua chapter 3, and we gave you many declarations that we believe that God was saying to you and to our church this year, and there were like seven declarations, and then later three more, and so a total of like 10 declarations, and I believe that God was doing something amazing where those declarations were coming to pass right here in our midst. And how many of you participated in that first fruits offering? Would you wave to me, whether in Owings Mills or here in the house? I mean, has God literally showed up this year for you? Aren't you just so thankful to God that you exercised your faith and many of those declarations came to pass in your lives and are still coming to pass, including in the life of this woman? Let's call her Ms. T. And she writes me in the middle of November. So when I get back from my travels, I get this letter, and it says this: Dear Pastor Anderson, praise report. Hi. I wanted to send you this praise report because at the beginning of the new year, I sowed a first fruits offering. At that time, I wasn't working because I had been taking a unpaid but brief sabbatical. However, I decided to pay my tithes monthly as if I were working and sowed a $2,023 first fruits seed. please see the things I believe God has done as a result of putting this seed into the ground. Three things. Number one, I received a great new job in Jacksonville, Florida, with a sign-on bonus and full relocation. Number two, my house in Maryland sold in 3 days, and I had multiple offers on the home, one being before it even hit the market. The profit on my home was over six figures, so I have submitted a tithe and offering check for $40,000. Number three, I typically rent when I relocate for a new job, but decided to buy this time. God worked it out where I was able to purchase a brand new home that no one has lived in. God even gave me favor with my closing for both homes, so I didn't have to store my house goods. I was able to move everything into the new home when my household goods arrived in Florida and not incur additional storage costs. I know paying your tithes and sowing seeds works. I have seen it work my entire life. Thank you for your obedience to challenge our faith at the beginning of the year. Although I have recently moved, I just wanted to write and thank you and the leadership at Bridgeway. I will continue to pray for you and the church. My prayer now is that I can pay my mortgage off and owe no man nothing but love. Pretty cool, right? Think about it. Mrs. T not only gave a $40,000 check, but she also gave a tithe check of nearly $25,000 on top of that, equaling $65,000. Look at the checks up on the screen. So I want you to just think about this for a minute. She was not even working, but her faith was. She gave $2,023 because it was 2023 in faith, even though she was not working. And then by November, she's giving $65,000 back to God joyfully. I just think that that's incredible, because when we gave these declarations, I know some of you are thinking, but Lord, my blessing hasn't come through yet. Let me tell you something. The year's not over yet. It's still 2023, and those declarations are for the whole year. And here is a woman that was not working. She probably never thought that 11 months from now, I'll be giving $65,000 away with joy in my heart. You just never know what God's going to do. And the blessings of first fruits are not just money. No, it's so much else. I was talking to one woman on the radio show just this week, and she wanted to ask about her giving to the Lord. And she was saying, but if I plan to give God $50 every week at my church. I said, that's great. But she goes, but then Pastor Anderson, I heard you talking about giving on the radio, and I felt guilty because that week I had a bill that I had to pay, and I was struggling between whether I give the $50 to the church or pay the bill. And I said, my goal is not to make you feel guilty. You give what you can cheerfully to God, but my goal is that you will activate your faith. And I don't know what bill you have, but I know this. I know that when we give God what his due offering is, he can take care of any bill that we are not able to pay right now. And then I turned her to Malachi chapter 3, where God says, bring your whole tithe into the storehouse, and you can test me in this. And then he says, and I will prevent the pestilence from ruining your crops. I said, God can prevent bills from happening that would happen because he's protecting your assets. And so if I have to choose between giving God $50 and giving BG&E $50, guess what? I'm going to give it to God and trust that he can handle BG&E. He can handle American Express. He can handle all the things. And half the bills, I don't know why I'm preaching on this. This is not the message. But half the bills are bills that we created. You know, now, if there's health issues, that's something else. I'm just saying, for a lot of people, half the bills are ones we created. We didn't necessarily need that car or that house or that dress or those gifts. And so part of it is just saying, God, listen, I know that some of this stuff I created, but what I want to do now, Lord, is reverse this thing. I'm going to ask you to make me debt free. I'm going to pay those debts down, but I'm not going to do it by robbing you. And if you give to God, and watch God come through. 65,000. How many of y'all like to give $65,000 to the Lord? Is that a commitment? I mean, because if God bless you enough where $65,000 is a tithe, are you saying, God, you bless me with over 600 grand, I will make sure to give you 10%. Is there a commitment? All right, now, I don't know if God's going to do that. That just came to my mind. But I would not be surprised, because he's a miracle-working God. So I would not be surprised. Y'all like, I don't know how I got $600,000, but I made this commitment. And don't go to Maryland Live and try to get that money, okay? That's, you know, we're not telling you to gamble your money away. So this year, we're going to do a first fruits offering again. The first Sunday of the year is January 7th. Give whatever you want. Give whatever you feel. I'm not talking about your tithes. This is above your tithes and your offerings, okay? And whether it's $1.52, which was the smallest gift last year, which I just love that, or whether it's any other amount, whatever God says you give it, there's no shame in your game. There's no judgment on this side. I just want you to get in on what God's up to. So prepare your hearts for that. We'll give you two opportunities to do it, the first Sunday of the year, January the 7th, or the first day of the year. Because what we're going to do is we're going to do, here's the last announcement, we're going to do a New Year's Eve watch night service. And I'll explain more about what a watch night service is in the future, but just know now, from 11 p.m. to 12 p.m.-ish, once we cross over into the new year, we'll have an opportunity for you to give an offering then. So you can give it then, you can give it on the first Sunday of the year, or you can even give it starting today. Just go to the website, and between now and the end of January, you can give, and then when we do the offerings, we'll have a card, and you can check, I already gave this amount, or I will give this amount before the end of January, or you can give it right then and there, okay? Now, having said all that, I want to now go into this word, and I'm asking God to make the word relevant for you, but it's mainly a word of information, and you need to understand that I'm not going to get through everything that I planned today, but it is a three-week series, and I already realized that just because of time, I'm only going to be able to set a foundation. But next week, I am going to go through the 9 signs of the times that Jesus talks about. I'll touch on them at the end of my message today. But first, let's go into the Word of God with today's message called, I Saw the Sign. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we go into your Word, we pray that your Word would now go in to us. And we ask God, in the name of Jesus, that you would speak to our hearts and speak to our spirit man, our spirit woman inside of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. How many of y'all heard that song back from the 90s, the popular song, I Saw the Sign? Anybody know that song? Anybody know who sings that? Ace of Base. All right, those are all my white people right there who said that. All right. Okay, just in case. You know, I wasn't sure, is it Wilson Phillips? Is it Ace of Base? All right, let's listen to it just for 10 seconds. Let's see if you recognize it. What y'all think about it? Y'all know that song? That's like a little throwback, isn't it? You're welcome. All right. I'm going to talk about seeing the sign, and let me ask you the question. Have you seen them? Are you aware of them? Can you say, I've actually seen signs around? You know, some will see signs, others will not. Some will be clueless to the going ons around them to understand all of what God is trying to say in the earth with a bigger plan, and others it will just skate right by them. But it is a part of a bigger picture that has been prophesied to occur from the scriptures, all that we're experiencing on the earth. And Jesus warned us that the very things we are experiencing that are going to happen were prophesied. The question is, can you see it? Can you perceive it? Are you aware that there is a greater plan afoot in the heavens that is coming to pass for the ultimate redemption and the due recompense of all humanity? And if so, then so what? What does it matter that Christ is coming back and that the world is coming to an end? Well, today and for the next few weeks, this is what I want to talk about. Now, I already know that I'm not going to get through all the material, but next week I'm going to pull out the whiteboard and I'm going to start drawing some things about the end times. And for those of you who are turned on by that, we're going to talk about the end times and what does it mean to be raptured? What is the end of the world? And what is Armageddon? And what is all of that? But first, let's level set and get somewhat of a foundation. What are signs? Well, signs point us in a direction so that we can find our way. I just completed a bridge building Gracism ministry tour of 7 countries in the last 8 weeks. And at every airport, when we exit the plane, we're looking up for signs like, where is passport control? Where is baggage? Or more importantly, where's the bathroom? And signs help us find our way and point us in the right direction. But what about divine signs from God? Divine signs from God are hung in the vast universe for all humanity to see so that human beings can find their way and move in the right direction in their relationship with the Creator. And so God has put signs so that it would draw us closer to Him. And we serve a God who gives us signs and shows us wonders so that we might seek Him and so that we might see Him. So how has God done this? Well, He's done it all throughout creation, but He wants us to seek Him. He wants us to see Him. In fact, Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, it's impossible to please God because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly or diligently seek Him. If you're looking for God, you will see Him. If you seek Him, you will find Him. Jesus says in Matthew 7, verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Verse 8, for everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open. You just have to be looking for God. In fact, it reminds me of a story or a joke that you may have heard me tell before where a little boy picks up the phone and the voice on the other end when he says, hello. The voice says, is your mommy home? To which the boy says, yes. Well, can I speak to her, please? No. Why not? She's busy. Oh, well, is your daddy home? Yes. Can I speak to him, please? No. Why not? He's busy. Okay, young man, is there anybody else home? Yes, who? The policeman. Can I speak to one of them, please? No. Why not? They're busy. In frustration, is there anybody else home, son? Yes, who? The fireman. Can I speak to one of them, please? No. Why, they're busy? They're busy. And in total exasperation, the voice on the other side says, well, what are they all busy doing? To which the little boy responded, looking for me. Sitting in a closet, hiding from everybody. I think sometimes people think that's God, that He's hiding from us. But actually, God has made Himself very manifest. And if you look for Him, you will find Him. There are signs all around us. And the Bible uses the term signs. In fact, the first three or four times in the Bible starts right at the very beginning of the scriptures. The very first time the word sign is used is in creation. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. And when we look at these first few times we see the word signs in the Bible, then we'll move to the New Testament. But this first time is in Genesis 1:14, and it shows us the presence of an eternal God. This is what it says. And God said, "Let there be light in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as," here it is, "signs to mark seasons, days, and years." There it is. What the word is saying is that every sunrise and sunset is a daily sign that points to the presence of an eternal God. When he said, "Let the light expand in the sky and create day and night," creation made within time and space demonstrates God's eternality, who's outside of time and outside of space. God stands above time and space. God's the one who created time. And every sunset and every sunrise is a sign of God's eternal existence as the creator and the one who stands above time. Every sunset should lead you to praise the God of creation. Every sunrise should lead you to praising God as the creator. Now let me ask you, if you had a choice between seeing the sun rise and seeing the sun set, which one would you choose first? Okay, let's do a wave, and I want you to wave to me at Owens Mills as well as here in Columbia. If you had a choice, you would choose to see a sunrise. Wave at me. Let's see who the morning folk are, okay? There you go. If you had a choice to choose to see a sunset, wave at me. There you go. All the sunset people. How many of you are like, it's even, I can't, I need them both. Wave at me. Yeah, well, there you go. Guess what? It doesn't matter where you are or who you are, you have a chance to worship God because he gives you a sign every single day. I mean, you can't look at the beauty of a sunrise and have your soul cry out, "What a beautiful sunrise evolution has made." You can't look at an amazing sunset and marvel at it and say, "Praise be to the Big Bang Theory for the beautiful landscape of bursting colors and amazing hues across the horizon." Someone said the greatest difficulty for an atheist is when he is really, truly thankful, but he has no one to thank. The signs of the seasons and the days and the years point us to the fact that God is eternal. He's the creator of the universe. And even if he used evolution to do it, and we can have an honest debate about that, that's worth having, but he is still, no matter what, the ultimate architect, the intelligent designer, and the artistic creator of the universe. And he is in control of all time, all the time, every day, every hour, every moment. Time is a divine sign. We've learned that these divine signs of the times show us right at the very beginning of creation the presence of the eternal God. But now let's see another divine sign that points toward the promises of a faithful God. In Genesis chapter 9, we see the word sign a second time. And not only do the early signs in Scripture point us to the presence of God and his eternality, but we see that the signs point us toward the promises of a faithful God. And in Genesis 9, you know the story maybe of Noah and the ark, and then the judgment comes through rain, and finally, after all the world is flooded, Noah and his family and the animals come out of the ark. And in verse 12 of Genesis 9, "And God said, this is the," here it is, "sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you a covenant for all generations to come. I have set the rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign, there it is, of the covenant between me and the earth. You see, the rainbow is a sign of promise. And God says, this is a sign of my covenant or my promise. That's what a covenant means to you. God is saying that every time you see a rainbow in the sky, it signifies a ray of hope to remind you that I will not destroy the earth by water or flooding again, like I did in chapter 6, just 3 chapters ago in Genesis. See, God is faithful to keep his promises. God is a promise keeper. And the rainbow is a divine sign of God's grace and that the earth would not be destroyed by judgment in the same way again. You can only imagine that when they came out of the ark, they saw the rain coming and how that must have been very fearful for them. Because before the ark, they had never seen rain before. They had never seen water fall from the sky. They never knew what a hurricane was or a monsoon or anything. And so God warned, build this ark and get in there and trust that I will protect you because this water will fall. Well, they've never seen water fall from the heavens before. And it flooded the entire earth. So then when they come out of that ark, can you imagine when the rain starts again? They're like, oh my gosh, here we go. Judgment all over again. And what God says is, no, this time I want you to see this rainbow. And every time you see that rainbow in the clouds, it's to remind you that I'm not going to destroy the earth again in the same way. But it doesn't mean that judgment is not going to come. It's just not going to come by water this time. It's going to come by fire. In fact, it says in 2 Peter 3, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends, that with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day. Verse 9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise as some understand slowness. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Why? Because of verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. The world will come to an end, and these heavens and these earths will be, and this earth will be destroyed. Now, as believers, I believe that we're going to miss some of this judgment, and I'll explain some of that next week. But Noah and his family coming out wondering, oh my gosh, is judgment coming again? And that rainbow is a sign of promise, of covenant, of mercy, and it's a sign that belongs to God and God alone. Now, so far we have seen these two signs, the first two in the Bible. One's demonstrating the presence of God above and beyond time. The other is demonstrating the promise of God not to destroy the earth again by water. Let's look at just one more from the Old Testament at the very beginning, and we see this in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and Deuteronomy chapter 6. And this sign points to the powerful deliverance of a personal God among his people. In fact, in Deuteronomy 4, it says in verse 34, has any God ever tried to make himself one nation out of another nation? By testings, by miraculous, here it is, signs and wonders? Or in chapter 6, 22, before our eyes, the Lord sent miraculous, here it is, signs and wonders, great and terrible, upon Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. You see, God showed up for his people, the people of Israel, when they were under the oppression of the Egyptians in captivity as slaves. And God sent plagues as signs to the Pharaoh to let his people go so that the Israelites would be delivered from his oppression. And you can read that in the book of Exodus. God's powerful hand of deliverance is a sign to unbelievers and pre-believers alike that God is real. God is moving his powerful hand of deliverance to show you and to show me that he cares for his people. And when God does miracles in your life, it is for the world to see that God cares for his people. The miracles are not just for you. The miracles are so other people can see the powerful movement of God in your life. Miracles are very personal and they're very caring, and God's signs can be very personal to you and very caring. And what we see in this text is that God was giving divine signs to Pharaoh and to his own people in a way that all would witness the powerful deliverance of a personal God. You see, God's miracles are signs to others and to us that we actually matter to God and that he's active in our personal lives. Does anybody need a miracle in their life today? The same God who created the universe, seasons and days and years, is the same God who can personally be involved in your very life. And the same God who can hang a rainbow in the clouds is the same God who can bring a ray of hope and light into the darkest clouds of your very existence. And God sent his son Jesus to show us that God cares about us. And he walked into the universe and he walks into our lives and he walked on the earth a perfect life, God in the flesh. And then he died a cruel death. And then he rose again from the dead and he beat death, taking all the sins of humanity with him. The most perfect sign of all is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And God is saying, listen, I know that I'm the creator. And I know that I've separated the day from the night. And I know that I've hung a rainbow in the sky. And I spin all the planets in the world. But I also want you to know that your very life matters to me. And what you're going through in your life, in your health, in your relationship, in your business, even though I'm this big G God, I want you to know that you matter to me. And that's why God does these personal miracles in our life, to let us know that we matter to him and that he loves us. And God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's how much God cares for you. This much. And this miracle-working God would actually hear the prayers of his people. When she prays and when he prays, God hears both of those prayers. And when you pray over in that row and you pray up there in the balcony and you pray over here in this side of the auditorium, God can somehow discern all of your prayers and not just hear them, but actually care about them. And God can do miracles in your life. And those miracles are a sign so other people can see. So you can see that he cares, so they can see that he cares. I think that's pretty cool. That's how much God loves you. And so what are you to do here? Well, I say, listen, call upon him today. In fact, the word says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you've been wondering whether he exists or doesn't exist, he gives you a sign every single day. If you woke up this morning and you could feel the air, that's a sign from God. Seasons, days, and years, sunsets and sunrises are a reminder God exists, but he wants to personally be involved in your life as well. See, some people believe that God exists, but just that he's not personally active in our lives. And God wants us to know that his very hand of deliverance is right there. What have we learned so far? Three things: that signs point to the presence of an eternal God. Secondly, that signs point to the promises of a faithful God. And thirdly, signs point to the powerful deliverance of a personal God in the form of miracles. Now, what I want you to do is to turn quickly with me now to the New Testament, because I want you to see the nine signs of the times. And then next week, I'll not only preach through these nine signs, but I'm going to tell you how you can sign up or get signed up in the Book of Life, where you can make a reservation to make sure that if you do go into the eternal world after this world, that your name would be written in something that the Bible calls the book of life, and I'm going to explain that next week. But what I want to do this week is take you to Matthew 24, and I'm going to read the first 14 verses just so you can hear these signs. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to put all 9 signs up on the screen just so you see them, just so you can prepare for them next week. Like, take a picture if it's on the screen. Read through Matthew 24 this week. And so when we come next week, when I explain these signs, you're already a bit familiar with it. But listen to what Jesus says. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. "Do you see all these things?" he asked. "I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Verse 4, Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but he who stands to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. What I want to do is, I've read it to you, now I want to list these 9 signs just so you can see them. But I need you to help me when I go through these 9 very quickly, all right? And this is how I need you to help me. I need you to say, "Pastor, keep moving." Because I'm going to be tempted to preach on every single one of these signs, and we'll all be in church till 3 o'clock this afternoon. Because I just have so much, so I just need you to help me through this, okay? But here they are. Sign number 1, self-proclaiming messiahs on the rise. Somebody, pastor, keep moving. Okay, thank you. Sign number 2, wars and rumors of wars. Help me. Okay. Sign number 3, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Do you know that word, Nate? Okay, all right, no, all right. But word nation in the Greek is ethnos, ethnic group against ethnic. Say, please, pastor, keep moving. Okay, sign number 4, famines and earthquakes. Sign number 5, persecution, martyrdom, and hatred of followers of Jesus Christ. Stay there, preach. That's what I'm hearing. You're not helping me. Woo, it's hard. Oh. Sign number 6, a turning away from the faith, betrayal, and hatred among believers. Woo. Y'all better come back next week and just plan for like an hour sermon, okay? No, but seriously, man, this is what's going on right now. Oh, sign number 7, false prophets on the rise. I ain't gonna name names. But we're going to define what false prophecy is. Sign number 8. We're almost there, okay? Sign number 8. Wickedness. Can we start there? No, okay. Wickedness leading to love growing cold. And here's the last one. The gospel will be preached to the whole world. When you come back next week, if you come back, I promise that my goal is not to scare you with these signs, but I will be very honest about what the Bible says about the last days. And I will talk about what you need to do to be prepared and ready for the return of Christ and indeed the end of the world. Let me give you some practical applications. Number one, be alert, but don't be alarmed. I'll repeat this next week, and Jesus said it in the text, don't be alarmed. Be alert, but don't be alarmed. I'm not trying to scare anybody. Second practical application, worship the sign giver, not the signs. You don't go to a sign and just sit right there. I made it. The sign is to point you somewhere. Worship the sign giver, not the sign. Go to where the sign points, not to the sign itself. Don't focus on the signs, like the sunsets and the miracles. Those are important signs, but you don't focus on those. And some people want to worship the sunsets, worship the sunrise, worship all of creation, worship the miracles that happen. Listen, we worship the miracle worker. We worship the God of creation, not creation. And I could go down this road a long time, and I won't. But there's a lot of people right now that are just talking about the universe and the universe talking to them. And they're all up into the stars and the moon and the heavenlies. And they talk about a sign. And this sign they're talking about is like, I'm born in May, so I'm Taurus the bull. And you Pisces in February, so we should get together. And the fish and the bull, don't know how that works. But, you know, all of a sudden, they reading palms and all this. Look, there are a whole lot of signs out there. Listen. I saw the sign, and his name is Jesus Christ, and he died on the cross, and he rose again from the dead. That is the sign I need. I don't need you reading my palms. I don't need to figure out how I was born, the year, month of the rabbit, and looking at my fortune cookie and all that other stuff. I'll open it up. I'll read it. I'll chew on the cookie. I'll throw away the fortune. But listen, don't start believing in these signs that are taking you away from the cross. If there is a sign that points you away from Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's the sign you don't want to see. That's the sign that says, oops, wrong direction. Worship the sign giver, not the sign. Okay, here's the final and last practical application before I pray. And that is this. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Jesus wants to be found by you. He has made himself manifest present. If you seek him with a diligent heart, he will show up for you. And for some of you, that's today. That today is the day of salvation. That you came to church or you're watching online and you've listened to everything I've said so far, but really this is God's message to you saying, this is the day to give your life to me. This is the day where you stop flirting around with all the other signs. This message is a sign to you that God loves you and that you matter to him. And so with all heads bowed and all eyes closed, I'm going to pray a prayer, and I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer with me to invite Jesus Christ into your life. He's already showed up today. He's here, and he's in this prayer. And if you feel moved in your heart, then invite him to come into your life. Just say with me right now in the privacy of your heart, dear Jesus, I invite you into my life. I saw the sign, and that's a sign of your love when you died on the cross, took all of my sins, and rose again from the dead. And today I am making a decision to respond to that love. Please save me today, Jesus. Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. Thank you for allowing me to find you. Most of all, thank you, Lord, for finding me. I give my life to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now listen, friends, if you prayed that prayer to receive Christ, I want you to text the word Bridgeway to 97,000. That's 97,000. And I got one last thing to say to you before I walk off, and that is this. Not only is Jesus coming back, but here it is. Don't get ready for his return. Be ready.